Tonight's daf is daf Chav Gimel. We're in Masechah Shabbos. So we just finished discussing the whole idea of whether or not the mitzvah of Halakas Neros Chanukah is a mitzvah in the Maaser Laka or the Hanacha. So the Gemara says 8 lines down. Hashda Darminan Halakah Osa Mitzvah. Now that we've established that the mitzvah is in the Maaser Laka, so Hidlik Cheresh Shotiv HaKatan, if any of these light here, Loas of Loklum, because you have to have a Maisa that is substantial. And since the ma'isa of a katan or a cheresh or a shota is not considered a ma'isa, you haven't accomplished anything. Isha vade malika, a woman certainly is allowed to light candles. Damar Rabbi Yishu ben Levi, nashim chayavos b'ner Chanukah, shaf heino yubosa neis. We know that they're included in the neis of Chanukah, so therefore they're chayiv as well. So it's an interesting discussion here. The Ran writes that when we talk about a katan not being able to light neis Chanukah, he's referring to a katan shelo higil achinach. If it's a katan higil achinach, which seemingly is a very young age for Neros Chanukah. Actually, maybe not. I don't know. It's very easy to light candles, but at what age would you allow your child to actually light the fire? So in my house, we started letting Yishai, he likes to light the match. It's exciting for kids to do that. So Yishai is now in 4th grade. I mean, he's, what, 9 years old, turning 10? Is that around what you guys would let your kids do? I don't know.
What?
None of them. You don't let them light at all, you're saying?
No, just be a light only 1 minute.
Oh, no, I'm saying in general, like lighting a match for Havdalah candles.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying. So, it's at 10 for 9 years old. That makes sense for you guys?
Yeah.
Daphna?
I started lighting her match last year.
Okay, fine. So that age, I guess, that's Higil Achinuch. So that's what the Ran says. That type of katan is allowed to light the Neres Chanukah. So the Sfas Emes asks the question, but how come the Ran himself writes in Maseches Megillah that a katan Shigil Achinuch is not allowed to read the Megillah? Why is that any different? Why is a katan higil achinuch is able to write the Neres Chanukah but can't read the Megillah? That's the Sfas Emes' question. So the answer is as follows. Because the Megillah is a chi of gavra. So a katan, even higil achinuch, cannot be motzei a gadol. As opposed to Neres Chanukah is a chovas habayis. It's on the house, not a gavra. So as long as the house has Neres Chanukah and was lit by someone who's at least understanding what's going on, you don't really need the maaser laka begavra, it's chovas habayis. Then you could accomplish the mitzvah through a katan shegil achinuch. That's the chiddush of the Sfas Emes in understanding the Ran. Now, of course, there's a big discussion about a woman lighting candles. The reason why the ma'isa, but many women don't light bizman hazeh because the ishto kegufa. That's the understanding. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. But then the question, of course, becomes if a woman is single and she's still living in her parents' house and she's not married, so how come they typically don't light either? So Chassam Sofer famously writes that because since the derech of Neres Chanukah is to be lit outside, and women typically don't go outside, so then they're not supposed to light the candles. That's the understanding of Chassam Sofer. Many are bothered by that, of course, but that's the Chassam Sofer's understanding. But that being said, Mishnah Berurah said if a woman wants to light, she certainly is allowed to light. Again, in the Ashkenazi home, this isn't relevant to you. What your daughters do?
The daughters,
some have such a chiluk.
The wife,
right.
Doesn't.
Some have a chiluk like that. Some say Rav Soloveitchik felt that even the wife is allowed to light as well. But there's nothing wrong with them lighting at all. It's all, there's not, no problem halachically.
But it says that the man is coming home late. Not even so late, but late, to tell his wife.
Right, so that's very important.
Yeah.
Right, if you're not home, yeah. To appoint your wife as a shliach, that's better bizman, especially the mechaber, who's very machbid on the zman. It's a very sad thing that you miss a lighting, but you get the mitzvah.
But a lot of it is a problematic thing before lighting candles yourself. You're not going to get home early, should your wife light?
Yeah, so we just discussed that before. So if you're really makbid, the Sfardim are very makbid on lighting bizman. Many Ashkenazim are also, but certainly Sfardim are. And Sfardim only light one menorah for the entire house. So the Rav Avadya paskins that better for the wife to light home if you're at work and get a mitzvah that way. So now for an Ashkenazi, so I believe I spoke to Rav Shecht about this once before. He felt that a woman should light for the husband, even if she's not home.
The husband comes home late, doesn't light.
I'm pretty sure that's what he said, but don't quote me on that. Well, I'm already quoted here. But we'll discuss that in the 2 weeks of the halachic section, but that's what I seem to recall. Okay. Fine. But then there's an Indian, I'm sorry, now that I'm thinking about this, that's coming back to me a little bit. there is the inyan of shalom bayis. There's a big inyan that one of the poskim say because of shalom bayis and the inyan of lighting together, that does trump the getting the mitzvah. So there's one thing of checking it off and getting the ideal mitzvah, but the shalom bayis of being as a family together lighting, that's an inyan as well. So you have to balance the shalom bayis with the chiyuv to light. Yeah, so now it's coming back to me a little bit, but I don't remember all the different sources, but we'll discuss this in Mirtz Hashem after we finish the parak, B'li Neder. Fine, the Gemara now says, Vayter, Amar Rav Sheshes Achsanai, Chai B'ner Chanukah, a guest has to light Chanukah as well. And Amar Rav Yizera, Meiresh Ki Avina Beirav, when I was in Beirav, the house of Rav, Mishtatven Befrita B'hadei Ushpiza, that I would, again, give some money to pay for the oil, and some say you have to add a little bit more oil for the guest, and that way I'm included in the lighting, so I don't have to light my own Neres Chanukah, I get with the host. Baser Dinesivi, it's just after I married a wife, Amina Hashta, Vade Lotzichana, now I certainly don't have to, I guess Rabbi Zera was visiting, he was going out learning like Rabbi Akiva, and he wasn't staying at home, so he said, sure, that the Kamali Kelai Begav Beisai, my wife lights for me at home, I'm now putter from lighting in the current place where I am. So that becomes a whole other discussion of a person's traveling overseas, and his wife in New York is lighting, does he not have to light when he's in Eretz Yisrael? That's a whole other shayla. It sounds like from the simple reading of the Gemara that you would not have to, but maybe we'll get to that. Further, the Gemara says, Amri Bishu ben Levi, Kosh Shemanim Kulan Yafin Lener, Vishem and Zayis Mina Muvchar, all oils are very good for the candle, and the best of all them is really Shem and Zayis. That's Minha Muvchar. So then Amar Abai Miresh, Abai says initially, Hav Mahader Mar Amashcha Dishumshmi. Initially, that Abai would seek out sesame oil. Amar Hai Mashich Nuhura Tvei. This actually catches fire the best of all of them. But Kevin Dishama La Lahadir Rabbi Shimon Levi, that he heard that Shemen Zayis is the best, Mahader Amashcha Dizesi, start to look for Shemen Zayis. Why? Amar Hai Tzalil Nuhura Tvei. This is a clearer light. So the advantage of certain oils are that they catch fire quicker, and other create a very nice, pure, clean flame. So that's why we use Shem and Zayis in the end, because it's a clear, it's a tzalil nehura tfei, it's a clearer fire. So Tosis points out here, Meireish hava mahadir mar amashcha de shumshmi, nira de aner chanaka koi. This is referring to, it doesn't tell us what type of ner he's referring to, it just says stam, he looked for oils. So Tosis says, we're talking about ner's chanaka. So ner's chanaka koi, has a better flame. It's obvious. He never would have had a havamina to think otherwise, but Ner Shabbos, that's certainly Shem and Dais is the best. So we discussed already in the first Mishnah which oils are disqualified, and we're going to discuss later which ones qualify as good oil, but certainly the best of all them is Shem and Dais. It's a very good question. It could go back to the idea of kavs of a lo zakik la, that if it doesn't catch fire well, whether you have to fix it or not fix it, that inyan. So since sesame oil is catches the flame much better, so then he figured out to get to avoid any issues. I'm thinking back, Rabbi Zera had a comment here. He actually said, kavs ein zakik la, you don't have to fix it if it goes out. So maybe because of that, he wanted to initially use good oil that catches quicker. I'm not sure. But it's a very good question. I'm not sure why.
You can't do better than basic English.
Yeah. I mean, what's interesting is when they created the first mitzvah, when they said the halacha of following the Neis Chanukah, they never said to light with oil. They just said light 8 candles. So it could be candles. It could be anything you want. It could be just the flame is really the Neis, not necessarily the oil. Yeah, could be, but I think what you're saying is a good point. Why not? Why would you ignore the Shemen Zayis? Okay, the Gemara now says further, Amar Rabbi Shu ben Levi, kol hashemanim kulon yafin laner, the Shemen Zayis, we did that right anyway, sorry. Amar Rabbi Shu ben Levi, kol hashemanim yafin ladio, the Shemen Zayis, min amuvchar. All oils are good for ink, and olive oil is the best among them. So they'd make ink using oil. I don't know how ink is made. Ibailu, Legabel ol ashen. So now the Gemara is going to tell. Is it in order for mixing together or is it for smoking it? So you have to look at Rashi to understand how they got ink back then. I don't know how its ink is created nowadays, but Rashi explains how it was at least back then. So if you look at Rashi 5 narrow lines down, Legabel Matzasi b'tshuvos ha-ga'onim shema'ashnin kli zechuchis ba'ashan shemen zayis ad shema'ashchir. What they would do is, they would light a fire near glass. They'd use olive oil to light a fire, put glass in the fire, and now if you ever see this, the glass is going to get some black soot on it. It's called a soot or whatever it's going to be called, black soot on the glass. And then the gorer hashachruis, you then scratch off that black soot on the glass. V'nosim bo shemen kima, you put a little bit of oil and a drop of oil in it to make it, I guess, more liquidy. U'megababan, you knead them or mix them together, the soot with the oil. U'meyabsho b'chama, you let it dry in the sun. U'memache osolatoch hadyo, and then you place it inside the oil. So you smoke the oil and then you add other oil into it. That's the process. So the question is, when we say that shemen zayis is the best, is that when you are using shemen zayis to create the soot, or is it when you take the soot off and add oil into it, that second stage, are we saying the shemen zayis is good to mix with the soot? So the Gemara explains, Tashma brings a raya, Ditani Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra, Kol HaShemanim Yofin L'Dio, all types of oils are good for ink, the shemen zayis Mina Muvchar, Bein L'Gaba Bein L'Ashen, either stage, whether it's the stage of being Ma'ashen, creating the smoke, which in turn makes the soot, or it's the oil that's being mixed with the soot, the shemen zayis is best for both stages. Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra Masnei Hachi, he taught as follows, Kol HaShanim, all types of smokes, Yafin L'Dio, the shemen zayis Mina Muvchar, but the best of them all is shemen zayis, which sounds like it's only for the ma'ashin, the smoking of it, but not for the mixing of it. So Amar Rav Huna, Kol HaSrafim Yafin L'Dio, the Sraf Katav Yafin Mikulan. All the Srafim, Srafim is what do you call that again? Like the syrup.
It says gum.
The gum? The sap. That's where I'm like a sap, I think. I don't know if sap is the same thing as gum, but some type of sap or gum, and they're all good for the oil. I guess that's also one of the components of oil, of ink rather, but the sraf kotif from this particular tree, that's the best of them all. Okay, the Gemara now says, Amr b'chir bar ashi, Amr rav, hamadlik ner shel chanukah, tzarech levarech, you have to say bracha when you light ner shel chanukah, as we all know. Rabbi Yirmiya Amar Haroa Ner Shechanukah Tzarach Levarach. If you see, you're walking through the street and you see Ner Chanukah, you always have to see a bracha. There's a machlokas if that's only if you haven't lit at home yet, or even after you've lit at home. We paskin, a person's walking home, walking, and he sees a Ner Chanukah, so if he doesn't plan on going home, he says a bracha. But if he does plan on going home, so there's a machlokas that you shouldn't say, well, now, wait till you light later. Or no, if you happen to encounter a Chanukah candle before you get home, you should say it on seeing it. So we paskin, I believe, that you don't say it when you see one if you plan to go home later that night to light on your own. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, what bracha do you say? Yom Rishon Haroa Mevarech Shnai Mimalik Mevarech Shlosha. Night one, the one who sees it says two brachas. He doesn't say Lahalik Ner because he's not lighting. He says She'asa Nisim, and he says She'ach Yanu on day one, or night one. And one who lights adds Lahalik Ner as well. And then what happens, Mikan Ve'ilach, from any point after that, Malik Mevarech Shaim, the one who lights says two, She'asa Nisim, rather Lahalik and She'asa Nisim, and the Roa, the one who sees, only says Mevarech Achas, he just says on She'asa Nisim, because we, of course, don't say She'ach Yanu beyond the first night. Now, if a person didn't say the first night of She'ach Yanu, so then he could say it any time over the course of the next 8 days, even if he's walking in the Shuk. And the Gemara then says, "My memait, which of the brachas do you not say? We said the first night the Malik says three, the remaining ones you say two. Which one don't you say? Memait zman, you don't take says zman, which is Shech Yanu. So asks the Gemara, the memait nes. So why don't you say nes? The nes was the first night only, wasn't it? Gemara says, no, nes kol yoma isay. We know that there was a nes each night. Was a furthering of a nes, was considered a nes bifnei atzmo, for which reason we say she'asa nisim on each and every night of Chanukah. So my mevarach, what exactly is the nusach of the bracha? Mevarach asher kedishanu b'mitzosu v'vitzivanu l'halak ner shel Chanukah. We were never commanded. There's no pasuk that tells us the ner is Chanukah. So how is it commanded? So the Gemara says, Rav Avya, amar milo sasser. What does lo sasser teach us? Anyone know? Don't deviate. Right, you don't deviate what the Chachamim tell you, Yamin or Smol. You don't deviate. So whatever the Chachamim tell us, we have to listen to Lo Sasser. So the Chachamim told us to, that's Sivanu. We're listening to the mitzvah Lo Sasser by listening to the Chachamim. There's a big machlokas, Rambam and Ramban. Whenever they create a mitzvah, is that mitzvah considered just under the rubric of Lo Sasser? There's Chanukah, Purim is a different story, but let's say Nitzchei Sadayim, whatever else is the Tchum, all their bonds are under Lo Sasser, or no, it creates each one as an independent mitzvah b'fnei atzmo. Neres Chanukah is one mitzvah derbanan, and then Nitzchei Sadayim is another mitzvah derbanan. Are they all separate mitzvahs? And there's a long Rev Chanan Wasserman talks about this in Divrei Sofrim in Kovet Shirim about nafka means between the Rambam and the Ramban regarding this issue, whether it's creating a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo or it's under the klal of Lo Sasser. The Baha'i actually quotes in listing the 613 mitzvahs, we know the first of the principles of the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvahs is we don't count mitzvahs derabbanan, they don't count towards the 613 mitzvahs. The Baha'i counts Neres Chanukah as one of the 613 mitzvahs, a very, very strange thing. So I don't remember if the Baha'i himself justifies this or someone make this suggestion, that the Baha'i understood that since Neres Chanukah was an extension or is an extension of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, that gives it a status of a deraisa. That's why it counts at 613 mitzvahs. But the Rambam's understanding of the Baha'i, he says no. The Baha'i thought it was a mitzvah derabanan, but he thought you should count mitzvahs derabanan. And the Rambam attacks the Baha'i in his first shorish on Sefer Mitzvahs that we don't count derabanans. Even before abundance existed, we have many riyas that there are 613 mitzvahs in the Torah before Chachamim came around, before Neres Chanukah existed, before Megillah Purim existed, we had 613 mitzvahs. So Rambam rejects this klal of the Baha'i. So that's all according to Rav Avia, that Lo Sasser is the basis for saying Vitzivanu for Neres Chanukah. Rav Nechemya Amar, Shal Vichav Yagedcha Zekeinech of Yomulach. You should ask your fathers and the elders, and they're going to tell you. So there is an Indian here to listen to the fathers, the parents, the Mesorah, which ultimately means the Takanas Chachamim. So Mesiv Rav Amram, Hademai Ma'arvin Bo, Umishatvin Bo, Umivarchen Alav, Umizamnin Alav, Umafrishin Oso Arim, Ubeinashmasos. So demai, what's demai? So demai is when you have some fruit that you don't know whether or not to suffix, whether you took maisa from it or not. So the lach is you could use it as eruva, as erev chatzeros and erev tchumim. Rashi explained you could use it for shitu mavuos of connecting a mavoy. Halach is an erev, and I'm not going to go through. You say a bracha motzi when you eat it if it's going to be chita made into bread. You could be mezamin alav, you make a zimin, and you're also mafresh. You could separate meiser when the person, even though the person's not dressed, because you don't have to say a bracha on it. There is no problem of not being dressed while separating meiser. The only problem is when you say the bracha. So when a person says, separates meiser, I don't know the exact bracha, but something lehafrish meiser, I don't know the rest of the bracha, but you have to say a bracha. So obviously you have to be dressed properly. But if a person is separating from demai, so then you don't say bracha on separating demai, since it's a suffik, whether you're chayiv in the first place. So you say suffik, you separate it, but you don't say bracha. So a person in theory could be arum when he separates the demai. So the Gemara asks, wait a second. The Amris, if we say kol midirabanan by bracha, if every takanas chachamim you require a bracha like Neres Chanukah, it's a mitzvah derabanan, and yet we say bracha, hacha ki arum heichem mevarech. How could he separate from demai and say a bracha if he's not dressed properly? You have to have that the machanech is kadosh, where you're dressed properly. So the Gemara is assuming that the reason why we have to separate from demai is a chiyav dirabanan. Now, rabbanan are making us separate, that means they're also making us say a bracha. But if the guy is arum in this case, so how can he say a bracha? So the Gemara says, no, Amar Abaye, vadai didireyem by bracha, safek didireyem lo bracha. When Chachamim create a mitzvah that's a vadai mitzvah, like Neres Chanukah, so then you have to say a bracha. But when Chachamim only create a mitzvah because of a suffik, like the case of a demai, there they did not institute a bracha. So that's why by demai he could be arum, because there is no bracha, it's a case of a suffik. Gemara says, is that really true by Sveikas? They don't institute brachas ever? V'ha Yom Tov Sheni, the suffik divreimu. We know we keep Yom Tov Sheni. Why was Yom Tov Sheni created? The Torah doesn't say anything about keeping 2 days of Pesach, of Shavuos, of Sukkos. So it's because we weren't sure which was the right day, so they say keep 2 days. So it's a suffik, which is the right day. And yet, we know we say Kiddush on the second day, and we say Shech Yon on the second night. So how could that be? We see there's a suffik, and yet you still say a bracha. So it's not the principle isn't true. So the Gemara says, Safik did Ram lo by bracha. No, that's not a line. Wanted Hasam kiecha de lo lezuzale ba. really, second day Yontif, there should not be a bracha. We shouldn't say Kiddush. We shouldn't say special davening. We shouldn't say Shechiyana. We shouldn't say anything. But since we're concerned that people are going to make fun of this whole institution of Yontif Sheni, we said, just say the brachas anyways, even though it's a suffix. It's one exception when it came to Yontif Sheni. Rava Amar, differently. Rava says, really, by the case of suffix, they would say a bracha. That's why by Yontif Sheni, it's a suffix, we do say a bracha. So then why don't we say a bracha by Demai? That's also a suffix. Because Rava says, Rov Am He'aretz Ma'ashen Heim. The need to separate Demai is really a very, it's a mi'ch ena matzoi. It's very unlikely that you haven't taken Ma'aser. Most Am He'aretz, who were the farmers at the time, they all separated Ma'aser, or whoever was selling it, well, Ma'aser was really taken. There was a small percentage of people who didn't take Ma'aser, so they were machmir to require taking Ma'aser. They called it Demai. But since it was so far-fetched, this need to separate Demai, they did not institute a bracha. It's not even considered a suffix. It's almost vada that you don't need to do a frasha. And for that reason, there is no bracha when separating Demai. But by a typical suffix, where there's a somewhat of a balanced suffix, yes or no, like Yontif Sheni, so in that case, they did institute a bracha in the case of a suffix. No, only Meister. The Gemara in Yuma says that since Truma Gedola, which is 140th, 150th, 160th, that since it's a chi of Misa for someone else to eat it, that they were makbid on to give it to the Kohen. So we trust even the Amei Aretz were scared of Truma. So that they separated. But by Meister Rishon, the lacha by Meister Rishon is, even though the Levi gets the Meister Rishon, if you eat it, if a non-Levi eats it, he doesn't get any, he gets an Isser Gzela, but there's no Isser of Misa or anything like that. So we are choshish that maybe they didn't separate Meister. The Gemara now says, around halfway down the wide lines, Amar Rav Huna, Chatzer Sheyesh La Shnei Psachim. This is what you're talking about the other day. If you have a courtyard that has two different entranceways, Tzricha Shnei Neiros, you need two candles, one menorah on this entranceway, and one menorah on the other Pesach. Rava Lo Amrin Ella Mishtei Ruchos. This is only true if there are two different sides of the fence. Avamirach Achas Lo Tzarch. If you have two entranceways that are right next to each other, the front entrance, you don't need to have a menorah here and then menorah here. We all know they're going to the same house. So it's only when there's a chashad, maybe if there are two different houses on two opposite sides of the block, then there's a concern. So the Gemara says, my time. Ilema mishim chashta. If the whole concern is the guy walking by says, oh, there's a Pesach, there's a Yid, he didn't light the menorah. So the chashta, deman, who's the chashad about? Ilema chashta da'alma, there's a chashad of everyone walking by. So then afil berucha achas nami leibai. If there are two entranceways, so let's say one guy passes only entrance A, but doesn't get to entrance B, and entrance B has the menorah, but entrance A doesn't have it, so he might think that entrance A, that guy, doesn't have a menorah. He never made it far enough to entrance B. So then you should have to do a menorah in each entrance way, even though it's the same ruach. And he chashed b'nei masa. If the people who live in the city, who knows where everyone lives, so then afilu mishnei ruchos nami lolibai. Then even if the entrance ways are on two different ends of the chatzir, there's no chashad, because I know that if this side Reuven didn't light, that other side he did light. And I know Reuven lives here, and he owns both of these psachim. So there's no chashad. So if it's B'nai Masya, people from the city, you should never have to light in two places. And if it's Ma'alma, people from traveling from outside who don't know anyone of the city, so then you have to even put up on the two entrance ways on the same side. So the Gemara explained, Li'olam, Mishum Chashta D'Bnei Masya, really, it's a chashad based on the people living in the city. So what happens? Zimnan de mechalfi b'hai, v'lo b'chalfi b'hai. Sometimes they only pass by entrance A on this side, and they'll see there's no menorah, and they'll never make it to the other side of the chatzer where there's a entrance B, and there is a menorah, and they say, oh, this Reuven, he didn't light menorah again this year. He didn't walk around the whole block to see the other side of the chatzer where there was a menorah. So for that reason, we said that you have to put a menorah on both sides. V'ami kiecha de b'hai pitzcha, he's going to say, just like on this side of the fence, lo alik, he didn't light, b'ach pitzcha nami lo alik, he probably didn't light on the other side, but he was too lazy to go around, and instead he was choshed b'ksher. Gemara now says the last four lines of the Amud here, Uminat Temra, the Chashin l'chashad. From where do you know that there's such, we do halachas based on the chashad that people are going to think? So the Gemara says, D'tanya, Amr b'shimon b'shvil arba dvarim amra Torah laniach peya b'sof sadeo. There are four reasons why that the halacha is, at least the Torah required you actually, to place the peya that you leave for the aniyim at the end of the field. Why? What were the four reasons? Mipnei gezel aniyim, the stealing of the aniyim. Because why is it stealing of the aniyim? I think the Gemara is going to explain all these. Does Rashi add anything? No, I don't think so. Yeah, Gemara don't want to explain. Mipnei bitalnim, mipnei chashad, u'mishim bal tichla. So let's go through each one. Mipnei gezel, anim, shlo yira bal bayis shapnuya, v'yomer lekrovo ani, hareze peya. What's going to happen? Reuven, the farmer, has a relative, Shimon. And Shimon's an ani. He doesn't have, I think, 200 zuz is this year, very good. Is a zuz, pachos me, 200, mesayim zuz makes you an ani. If you have even one above that, then you're no longer an ani. So then he has a relative, Shimon, who doesn't have money. He's an ani. So he's going to hide his pay in the center of the field. So no one knows. It's really deep. He's got acres of farmland. So no one knows that there's pay in the center of the field. So he's going to call over his cousin Shimon. Now the pay is available. Come get it. So you're stealing from everyone else. That's considered gezel aniyim. Now what about mipnei? Next one's bitel aniyim. Shlo yu aniyim yoshvin mishamrin na'achshav. Miniach ba'bayis peya, because if you don't know where he's placing it, they have to always look out and check this corner, that corner, look around the field. They're busy waiting, wasting their time. But if everyone knows that you leave the pay at the end of the field, so you just pay attention to see when he gets to the cutting of all his wheat till he gets to the end of the field. And this way, you don't have to waste their time of trying to find out where in the field it might be. And then the third reason why we say leave pay at the end, bipnei chashad. So this is the reason why we brought this brisa, because we see we do create halacha based in chashad. What's the chashad? Shalo you over in v'shavin omrim tavo me'er l'adam shalo niach peah b'sadeo. They're going to pass by and realize that this farmer didn't leave peah. And they didn't know he left peah in the center of the field. They're going to walk by and the guy cut everything down. And this guy, they give him me'er, they give him a curse that this guy should whatever the curse is, because he didn't leave peah. So in order to avoid any curse and any chashad, we say leave the peah at the end of the field by the streets where everyone can see how you're performing the mitzvah properly. And then the fourth reason is mishum bal tichla. So the Gemara says, because the Pasuk says, that you, when you're separating, lo sechala rather, when you're separating peah, don't finish everything off. So what does that mean? The mashma shas kiloi, the end. No one finishes off in the center. You're going back and forth, so the last one is at the corner, that's don't finish everything off. You can't leave peah in the middle of your harvesting, has to be at the end, so that's the end of the field. So it's very, very simple. It's a mefurish pasuk. Gemara says, atu kulu la mishum bal sechala. Are all of them not? They're all under the same category of lo sechala. Gemara says, amar rava mipnei haramayim. So we're saying here is, that what's this concern? Rashi says, amar rava mipnei haramayim, ha'ovrim al lo sechala, Romim kvar hanachnua. So what's going to happen? The guy's going to say, oh, I left it already. The guy's going to play games. They're going to see, oh, he didn't leave it over here. And the guy's going to say, oh, I left it already. He's going to lie to them. So that's what it means. Baal Sechala is really an Isser Midrabanan. Again, Midraisa, he has to leave it at the end. But these are four other reasons that the Chachamim created as to why he should really leave it at the end. And this is, again, explanation on a Dirabanan level, lest the guy say, I left it out already. Gemara now gets back to Neres Chanukah. Amar of Yitzchak bar Radifa, Amar of Huna, Ner Sheyesh lo Shnei Pios. If a wick, rather a candle, has two wicks coming from it, Ola lo Shnei Bnei Adam. As long as the flames are separate, that could count for two people. Amar Rava, Mile Ka'aro Shemen, if you fill a plate up with oil. If you keep up seals, you place wicks, you scatter them throughout this plate of oil. And Kafa Leh Kli, Olam Kli, you put a Kli on top of it, whereby there are holes where the wicks are sticking out of each of the holes of this metal cover, let's say. Ola l'kama b'nei adam, that counts as many people. So as long as the wicks are independent of each other with a kli, so then that counts for individual people. But if you lo kafa l'kli, if you don't cover it in a kli, then asa kimin madura, it looks like a big bonfire, even though the wicks are floating around independently. If there is no kli on top of it that keeps them separate, it gives the appearance of a madura, a large bonfire. V'afilu l'echad nami eina ola, doesn't even count for one person, because we don't allow maduras to qualify for Neres Chanukah.
Is this a Mishnah somewhere?
Probably referring to the Mishnah Shabbos about when the sotots fall off the oil, you have a kli on top of it and the oil catches the bottom part, and muksa and stuff. That's probably that's not what he's talking about? Oh, what Mishnah are you talking about?
Like a bowl and you put a cover on there with the wick.
Yeah.
It's not from a Mishnah.
No, the Shabbos, the muksa. You're talking about that one, the Shabbos, the oil falling out and becoming muksa, and the sparks flying off.
There's a Mishnah right there also regarding, on Shabbos, you might lean over and raise it.
Adjust it? I think it's in the same area, yeah. I think so. Gemara now says, Amar Rava Pshita Li, it makes sense, obvious to me, that Ner Beso V'Ner Chanukah, Ner Beso Adif. If you have the option, a person, Rahman al-Tan, doesn't have enough money. He has to make such decisions in life to either buy a candle for Beso, for the house, for Shabbos, Shalom Bayis, or for Ner Chanukah, which should he choose? The Gemara Paskins famously, Ner Beso Adif, the Shabbos candles are more important, Bishim Shalom Beso, Shalom Bayis overrides everything. That's what we discussed before about Shalom Bayis and Ner's Chanukah. Should you have, wait for your wife to come home or not? Or Shalom Bayis. Shalom Bayis, according to many poskim, overrides the Zman, because that's, as we see here, it's very, very important. Ner Beis of a Kiddush. Let's say you have a Ner for Shabbos, rather. You have enough money to either make a decision of buying a Ner Shabbos or Kiddush Hayom. Which one's better? Gemara says again, Ner Beis of Adif, Mishum Shalom Beis. Shalom Bayis trumps everything. Now the Gemara asks, Bai Rava Ner Chanukah of a Kiddush Hayom. Now you have Ner Chanukah, enough money to buy a candle for Chanukah, or you could decide to buy wine for Kiddush Hayom. Mahu. Do we say Kiddush Hayom Adif to Tadir? Kiddush is more frequently, comes every Shabbos. It comes 50 times a year. O Dilma, Ner Chanukah Adif Mishum Pirsum Anisa. That although Chanukah is not Tadir, it has another element of Pirsum Anisa. And the Gemara answers, Basar di Bai Hadar Pashta Ner Chanukah Adif Mishum Pirsum Anisa. Pirsum Anisa is a more important concept. There's interesting toes on the top here. I'm not going to read through it right now. Those who want can. We talked about the order of Haftorah and Maftir. So we do, and if it happens to be Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, so then we do Shabbos lighting, then we read Rosh Chodesh, and then we read Chanukah. He says, shouldn't you really read Chanukah before Rosh Chodesh? Chanukah is Pirsum Anisa. It should come before the Tadir of Rosh Chodesh. So he says, no, since you're able to accomplish all the factors, Tadir, Rosh Chodesh, you're not ignoring Chanukah. Chanukah is just next. You can also accomplish Pirsum Anisa afterwards, so therefore you're not really violating this Gemara. Our Gemara is talking about when you can only choose one of them, either Pirsum Anisa or Tadir, so Pirsum Anisa trumps it. But if you could accomplish both, so then we put Tadir before Pirsum Anisa. That is correct. Maybe, I think they asked this question, now they're bringing this up. I'll look in the back, see if they talk about it. Let's see. Okay, Gemara says further now, Amar Rav Huna Haragil Bener, one who is accustomed to lighting candles. So what's the halacha? What's the idea, rather? What's the schar? Havinle banim tamidei chachamim. You're going to have bizoch, the children who are very, very learned. His here, b'mezuzah, one who's careful in mezuzah properly, zoch l'dirna, is going to have a beautiful home. His here, b'titzis, one who is very makbid on titzis, zoch l'talisna, is going to have beautiful clothing. His here, b'kiddush hayom, zoch m'mali garbayayin, he's going to be zoch to very good aged wine. Rav Huna, havi ragil havi chalaf v'taniya pitzcha de Rabbi Avin Nagra. He would oftentimes pass the house of Rabbi Avin, who was a carpenter, Nagra. And chazad havi ragil v'shraga tuva. He saw he was very accustomed to lighting candles. And I think it's talking about Neris Shabbos, though, right? This is Isaiah. Neris Shabbos, Rashi says. Amar tre gavre ravrave nafki mihacha. There were two great gedolim that came from Rabbi Avin, the carpenter, in Nafik Minai. Who are they? Rav Idi bar Avin, Rav Achia bar Avin. These brothers came from Rav Avin, who was very accustomed to Neris Shabbos. So Rav Chista havi ragad havi chalaf v'taniya pitzcha de Beinasa, to Rav Shizvi. He would oftentimes pass the house of Devei Nasa. We'll get to Devei Nasa in just a second, what that means. Chazed Ahavi Ragil B'Shaga Tuva. He saw that he would oftentimes, Rav Shizva, rather the Bei Nasa, the father-in-law of Rav Shizva, wouldn't light Ner Shabbos very well. So Amar Gavi Rabba Nafik Mehacha, a great Rav came from this person, Nafik Menei Rav Shizvi. So Rav Shizvi came about from the Bei Nasa. So what's a Bei Nasa? This is very, very important. The Gemara, the Rashi says the Bei Nasa is Aviv Vigadami Chamav. Some say Nasa is really the father. Some say it's the father-in-law. So look at Tosos here. Very important Tosos. The Bei Nasa, the Rav Shizvi, Omer Rabbeinu Tam, the Kfar Nifter Aviv. His father already passed away. And Lachach Kamar Bahai Lishna, the E Mechaim Havalei Lemeimar de Beavua. Had his father been alive, it should have said the father's house. Vomer Rabbeinu Tam, B'shem Rabbeinu Shmuel, Shekesh Kosvin Ksuba, Im Avia Kala Mechaim, if the father of the Kala is alive, Kosin Dehanala Lei Mi Beavua, Vim Kfar Meis, Kosin Dehanala Lei Mi Be Nasa. Very important for writing a Ksuba. So I actually had this Shaila very recently. So I'm doing a wedding on Sunday, and the mother of the Chosin wanted very badly to write the Ksuba. Now, I'm not making fun of anyone who has that here, it's a very nice thing, but it causes many tsaros all the time. So she told me that she's going to write it first, trace it, and then she'll have me look at it before she writes it over in pen and marker. She worked very hard on this. So she sent me the picture, and everything is marked up with a marker, finalized. So there were three mistakes on this ksuba. So one mistake is the name Pinchas was spelled with, instead of a samach, the end was spelled with a tuf. So she was able to fix it and make it into a samach. Ah, okay. Number two is she wrote Cheshvan instead of Mar Cheshvan. You have to write Mar Cheshvan. So good thing B'dieved, Mar Cheshvan is Cheshvan is good enough B'dieved. The question was though, it was already last week that she showed this to me, there's a week to fix it. So do we make her fix it? If the ksuba is written already with Cheshvan, so Pichat Shuvah says it's fine. But it wasn't the ksuba wasn't signed yet. They didn't get married yet. So do we make her go back and write everything all over again with the fancy designs and flowers? So Rulik said we don't make her do it again. Cheshvan's still fine. It's okay. The third mistake was that the Chasan's father was Nifter many years ago. So she wrote Mibei Avua instead of Mibei Nasa, like the Gemara says here. So I just started looking into it a little bit today, and they say, B'dieva, that's fine also. So I'm not going to make her go back and write it again. So those were the mistakes in the ksuba. That's why the postman always say, just get a regular ksuba, a standard ksuba. It's very nice things, very sentimental, it's beautiful. But such tsaros with the ksubas. Okay, fine. Gemara says that, where are we now? Deveso, the Rav Yosef, Havas Ma'achre, Umalekes La. The wife of Rav Yosef was delayed to light the candle. So what happened? She lighted it like last minute. So Amar La Rav Yosef Tani, the Brisa says, La Yomish Amida Ha'anan Yomim Mavamid Ha'esh Laila, that never ceased from the cloud to the fire. There was never a moment without one of them. And Milamid Sha'amid Ha'anan Mashlim Lamid Ha'esh, Vamid Ha'esh Mashlim Lamid Ha'anan, that they mamish like almost overlapped. There was never a split second where it was neither one of them. So what was he trying to say here? So he's trying to teach us, where's that Rashi that I want here, that the fire should be started a little bit before the going down of the cloud. Meaning, don't light so late, so close to Shabbos. Light it a little bit earlier. There's some overlap of the Anan and the Esh, so the fire should be lit near Shabbos, a little bit on Erev Shabbos. But then she thought, maybe, Savrlach Dume, she thought to light it very, very early. Amrullah, he says to her, Ha'usaba Tanina Ubivad Shalyakdim Vishal Yachi. You shouldn't do too early either. Not too late, not too early. It should be somewhere that's close enough to Shabbos. I was just learning today the sugya of getting the Shabbos table all set for Shabbos. So I know at my in-law's house, I always make fun when I go over, let's get Tuesday night, the table's already set for Shabbos there. Everything's set. So I saw in Halacha today, I was just learning that the Indian is to set the table on Erev Shabbos, and it should be Plaga Mincha. The Shari Tshuva says a little bit before, a little bit after Plaga Mincha, an hour or two before Shabbos. But it shouldn't be done early Friday morning, or not Thursday night, not Thursday, certainly not Tuesday night. So that's what the Allah. What?
Turn up the tape.
They don't listen to it. But they've heard me say it to them anyways. So that's the halacha. You're saying others shouldn't hear me say that about my in-laws. Okay. So the...
Did it early.
Through the Yantif. So again, nothing was wrong was done. But the Indian of setting the table is supposed to be covered Shabbos. So if you do it so early, it doesn't come off as covered Shabbos. The Piskei Tshuva that I saw does, he's Melamed Tzchus for some people who have such a practice. He said, if your practice is to really set the table earlier, you could hold on to that practice. And since it's clear that you're setting it for Shabbos, it does show a covered Shabbos. That's his Limud Tzchus. But Mikra Din, it sounds from Shulchan Aruch, has to be close to Shabbos as possible. Just like the Rama writes, when a person gets dressed, you shouldn't get dressed for Shabbos Friday morning. It doesn't show you're getting ready for Shabbos. You should bathe close to Shabbos and get dressed close to Shabbos. This way it shows a greater covered Shabbos. Gemara says further now, Amar Rava, we'll finish with this line because I know it's good timing. Do you have a minion, by the way? We do, right?
Yeah.
So Gemara says, Amar Rava, the Rachim Rabbanan, Havale Banin Rabbanan, one who literally Rachim means love, shows a lot of love and kavod. Rash is Ohev, he loves Rabbanan, Tamid Chachamim. So then he's going to be Zoche to his children being Rabbanim himself. Demoke Rabbanim, one who shows a covered proper honor to Rabbanim, Havale Chesanvas Rabbanim, his sons-in-laws will be Zoche to be Rabbanim. Dildachel Mirabbanim, one who fears Tamidi Chachamim, who gufavit Shumim Rabbanim. That person himself, if you show Yeres Chachamim, you yourself are going to be a Talmud Chacham. Vila barhach, if you're not capable, you don't have the kalim to learn like that to be a tzurba mirabanan. So then, hu mishtamina milei ketzurba mirabanan. Your words will be accepted, your suggestions will be accepted, ki'ilu, you have the status of a tzurba mirabanan. Okay, let's stop here because this next piece goes into the next daf a little bit. I think it does, right? I think so. So let's stop here.
Who did David?